Book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, starting from verse 1.
The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel.
Okay, now here the word of God is saying, you are using these proverbs that if the father does something, automatically his result will be on his children. Last time, if you remember, we learned, as mother, as daughter, the same way as the father, as the son. But this is not automatically the children look at the father and mother, their behavior, and they like to copy them. I saw one man, it's a commercial, goes with his little boy and he's holding his hand and the man takes the stone and he throws. So the boy does the same. Whatever the father did, it is the same. And then father sat under the tree and took a cigarette and put it in his mouth. And the boy was maybe 3-4 years old. He took a pencil and put it in his mouth. The commercial was saying, whatever you do, your children will do. God looks at your heart. God is not looking outward appeal. If you eat the sour thing so many, maybe hour or so, and after that, you will be not able to bite anything because your teeth will start hurting. So that's what he's trying to say. Now, as we physically know, if the man had the Zika virus and he can give that virus to his wife and the child will be born deformed. So it's a physically things is happening. Whatever the father does, it might affect physically to his son. And the same way the mother is drinking or smoking and her child will have some deformity. But God is not saying outwardly, he's talking about spiritually. Let's read the verse 3.
As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountain, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman.
Okay, now here he's giving several things. First of all, God says, each and every soul is belong to God. Because God is the creator of mankind. He is the potter, and we are the parts in his hands. He has created us. We have no right to blame God for anything. He says, you all belong to me, and your souls belong to me. And then he's giving an example. What I do, I look at the person's heart and their activities, and then I condemn them. Now here is saying, if somebody eating on the mountain, now somebody will say, if we go for the trip, going to the mountain and sitting and eating the bread, is that bad? Here is saying, if you're eating upon the top of the mountain, but he is not saying that you doing like a trip and going and eating your food. He's talking about the you going there on the mountain and take your food, give it to the idol, offer to the idol, and then eat that food. Today Indian people still doing that. Before they eat the food, they offer to the idol and then they give it to you. Now if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verses 1 to 13, we don't have time, but in that chapter Paul tells people about the eating food offered to the idol. Now St. Paul gives you permission to eat it. Now somebody will say, how come Saint Paul gives you permission to eat the food offered to the idol, and God says you cannot do it. Is he doing wrong? Now Saint Paul is saying in that chapter, you have to read the whole chapter, he says idol is nothing. If you see idol somewhere in the mountain or the street or something, that idol is not doing anything. It's like a piece of wood or piece of stone. But if you bring that idol to your house and start putting oil and start putting light in front of that, and then you start worshiping, that becomes sin. So in sometimes, just think, there is a Hindu priest, and in India, most of the people, when they go to worship, they bring their food and offer to the idol, and they go. And that food is belong to the priest. So that priest brings that food to his house. And just think, there are children, some of the children going to church, and some of the children got saved, and if they don't eat that bread, they will be dead. So that's why St. Paul is saying, they don't know this was offered to the idol, and even that they know, his father is doing this business with this, and of the children, they have no other way, and they are poor and hungry, and if they eat that food, they are not going to go to hell. Jesus Christ also said, when his disciples start eating the food without washing the hand, and they start saying, your disciples, they're eating the food and they're not washing their hands, then he said, you're a hypocrite, because whatever we eat, it goes to your stomach and then goes out. But whatever comes out of your heart, that defiles the person. So here is a little bit different things we're seeing, but here God is saying what this person is doing, going in the mountain and worshiping idols. He's already saying in this, his eyes to the idol means he is not going to the mountain just to having fun and picnic, but he is going to the mountain to worship the idol. That's the wrong thing. You can go to the mountain and you can sit there and under the tree and eat your fruit. It's not a sin. But if you giving to the idol, that is a sin. And then he's saying several other things, how he defiles the neighbor's wife and how he defiles the weaker vessel when they are really sick and having problems. And so those kind of people, God is going to judge. Verse 7.
And hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with the garments. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, and hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord God.
Now, here the word of God is saying, all these sins I showed you people can do. But if somebody is not doing those kind of sin, that person will live. Now in this chapter you say, live and die, live and die. So this is not trying to say the person will die, another person will live for eternity on this earth. He's trying to say, if you die, means you go to hell. If you live, that means you will have eternal life. That's what he's trying to say. In this chapter, he says they will die, another person will live. So actually, he's saying, if you live a righteous life in the sight of God, you will have eternal life. That's what he's trying to say. Verse 10.
If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth alike to any one of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains, and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations, he shall surely die, his blood shall be upon him.
Now in this chapter, this is repeatedly said several times. So as I said, God tells several times, so it will come to their mind. Here he's saying, if the other person who is a robber, he's a killer, he's a destroyer, he lives a bad life, and if he dies, then his blood will be on him. Because whatever the sin he has committed, and he dies with committing sin, God will give man chances. But the person keep on committing sin and never repents and dies in his sin, then he will go to hell. That's what he is trying to say. Verse 14.
Now lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins which he hath done, and considereth and doeth not such like, that hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any, hath not withholden the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, that hath not received usury nor increase, hath executed my judgments, hath walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live.
Now this is an example he is giving. The father is a crooked man, father is a very bad person, and that child grew in that same house looking at his father. And some children get an example that my father is a bad person, he beats my mother, he is a bad person, he does something wrong. If I get a chance, I will not live that kind of life. Those people are called wise, because the wise people see some other person's fall and they say, that person is doing wrong and that person is going to go to hell. I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to turn around and go a different way. But some people say, if my father did something like this, I'm going to do more. Just like Solomon's son. Solomon did so many wrong things. And when his son became a king, and there are people came to counsel him, and the older people came and he says, you know, your father was a little bit strong and he didn't do right things, so you do some good things so your kingdom will be better. And so he said, okay. And then he called all the young people to give him advice, because he might be young king. And so the young people gave him advice. They said, hey, your father did something, but you have to be much stronger. You should do much, much more problem to other people. And so the people start asking him. So he said, you know, I will do more listening to the young people, and I'll do more things, bad things, which my father didn't do after that. But the point I'm making, there are good children. Father and mother and both of them doing wrong thing, but if these children send it to the Sunday school, they learn from them other people, they learn that what this my father did, he went to jail because of this crime, and I'm not going to do all those things, then the children can be turned around. And God says, I'm not going to see, because his father was bad, so I'm going to send him to hell. He says, no, father sin, father will, I'll ask, and the son sins, son, I will ask. But if the son repents and son doesn't do anything wrong, this son didn't do anything. He didn't have to repent at all because he did not do anything wrong. So God says, I'm going to let him live. But the Christian standard is a little bit different. Old Testament I'm talking about. They don't do any sin. Just like this son, do the sacrifice, go to the temple, don't do any stealing, don't do any wrong thing. And God says, okay, I will give them eternal life. But that automatically doesn't come because they have to repent. In the end of the chapter, he will be saying this. But Christianity is, we are teaching to other people, if you live a righteous life, without Christ, your all righteousness is a filthy rag. The Hindu man can say, oh, I don't do this and I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't eat the animal, I don't do robbery, and I am very good person, I pray seven times a day and this and that, and I don't bother anybody. Still the word of God says, according to the Bible, your righteousness things are filthy rag. Why it happened? Because the man cannot go to heaven with his own righteousness. But all these rituals and what these things they did, that thing was showing them they are sinners. And if they don't repent, they will go to hell. Okay, let's read verse 18.
As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Yet say ye, why? Doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him.
Now here God is saying very plainly, I gave that example about his father, I gave the example about his son, and I gave the example about the how people do wicked thing. So he says, soul that sinneth, that soul shall die. Not because of his father, not because of his relatives or things like that. Today people are thinking, you know what, if I send my son to be a priest, my whole family will be blessed. That's what people are thinking. Oh, my son is a priest, or my daughter is a nun, so we are automatically be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. It doesn't work that way. God has made us individual person. Each and every person has the responsibility to worship the Lord. Just like somebody says, you know what, today I have to go to casino, or I have to do some other things. Here is a $5, put it in an offering and tell pastor to pray for me. People do that. They don't go to church, but they tell somebody to pray. They think God will bless me automatically if I give the money or something like that. God is not the person give bribery. The word of God says the money makes people blind. If you give somebody money, and even though you do something wrong, they may not tell anybody because you help them financially. But you cannot bribe God. God has everything, and He has all the silver, all the gold, and all the man's life is belong to him. So we cannot giving something to God. And Jesus Christ condemned those kind of people. They said the person can say any blasphemy to his mother and father. And in the rule was, if he does something, he should be stoned to death. But if he gives some silver and gold or something to the temple, you let him do whatever he wants. The word of God is saying, people start bribing people to get favor. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Okay, verse 21.
But if the wicked will turn from all the sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die.
The word of God says, the wicked person turns from his wickedness, and then he lives according to the will of God. Maybe he does everything what God says, and then God says he will have eternal life. But sometimes the Christian religious people start saying about the grace, and many preachers start preaching about the grace. It's a good thing to preach about grace, but people are thinking, whatever you sin commit after you are born again, that's all under the blood automatically. It doesn't work that way. Because the word of God says you have to live a Christian life until you die. Because you cannot live in the past. Whatever you did in the past, righteous things, and then you start committing sin, thinking that, you know, everybody knows I'm a good person, so whatever I do, they are not going to say bad because I did so many good things. Hear the word of God saying, if you turn from your wickedness and if you do the right things, then you will have eternal life. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says the same thing. Please read. Here the word of God is saying, if you committed sin and you know that you have done something, don't just say God will automatically forgive me. You have to ask forgiveness. And some churches said, you know how to do that. God knows future, God knows your past, and God knows what you're doing. Jesus Christ died once and for all. That means he died for all your sins. That's true. He died for my past sins. He died for my present sins. He died for my future things. But it's not automatically is going to forgive. If you did commit sin today, you're not going to say, God is going to forgive me without asking forgiveness. And whatever I'm going to do tomorrow, God knows automatically, so he has already forgiven me. That's the false kind of teaching. Please read.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
See, he says God is just. He wants you to ask him to forgive your sins. He's not going to forgive you automatically, even though he knows your sins, what you did and what you are doing and how your heart is against God. And he's not going to say, oh, you know what? Your father is a pastor and you did so many good things, so I'm automatically forgiving you. It doesn't work that way. God says you have to confess your sins. Now, some people try to trick pastors. When they say, let's confess your sins and ask God forgiveness, and they will just do it to please the pastor or just let the people thinking the person is repented. But God knows the heart. God is going to check your heart, not what you said to pastor or what you said to somebody else. The real repentance comes from your heart, and you can see the changes. So the Bible says, if the fruit is good, then tree is good. If the fruit is bad, the tree is bad. There are so many people doing secret sins and nobody knows. But God knows everything. Only one thing we can do, we can open our heart to God and say, Lord, you know my heart. And you're going to see, even though if I say lie or I say deceiving somebody, but I cannot deceive God. God knows your heart. God knows everything. Nobody can say what you're thinking, but you remember Jesus? Before they can say, I say, what you're thinking? And then he will tell them what they were thinking, because he is God. So God says he has created you. So he knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your thought. David said, Lord, you know my thoughts, you know my heart, and whatever I'm doing, it's not hidden in your sight. And if there is anything I don't think I'm doing wrong, you reveal to me, and I will confess my sins. That's the way we're supposed to do. Sometimes we make mistake not knowing, but once you know, you don't do it. You know the truth, you know you should not be doing it, but you do it. You said, oh, I'm not breaking God's law, I'm breaking government law. The word of God says God sent the government to do good things. And if you obey the government, you are doing good things. You don't disobey government and government set by God. So the point I'm making, God is saying, I am searching your heart. Here he's saying you'll die and you'll live. Actually, he's talking about eternity. Go back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, starting from verse 22.
All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live.
Now here God is saying, whatever sin you committed, if you start doing righteous things, your past things will not be remembered. In the olden days, if you are a sinner, you commit some sin, you bring the sacrifice. The sacrifice is your righteousness. You bring the sacrifice and God forgives your sin. But if you start committing sin again than your sin uncovered. And then he has to do more sacrifice. But what the Bible teaches us, when you come to God and wash by the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins are completely forgiven and forgotten. There is no record of it. Here is saying, I will not remember your sin. Now, this is not for, was talking in the time of Ezekiel. He was talking about the time of the millennium. We studied in a book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. Please read from verse 31 to 34. There he said, I'm going to make a new covenant. Now, this covenant, what God made before to Moses, that was a blood covenant. They have to shed the blood of bulls and goats. But now he said, I'm going to make a new covenant. That time, I will forgive your sins and will not remember your sin anymore. Please read.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
See, here God is going to do some spiritual things. He's going to put his law in the heart. Before that, the law was written on the tablets. Now, Paul records this. Some people do not know that book of Hebrews are written by Paul, but I believe that was written by Paul. So, book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 12, please read.
For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more.
Now, here he says in the chapter 8, verse 12, but he repeated again the chapter 10, verse 17, please read.
And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
Let's go back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, and starting from verse 23.
Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?
Now here God is saying, I do not have pleasure that sinner dies in his sin. This is God's thinking. But what we think, if we see some bad person, we think that person should die, and he should not have chance to repent because that person should not go to heaven. That is our mind. People hate somebody, they want that person to be destroyed. But God says, no, if that person repents, I will forgive that person. I do not want any person to go to hell. Hell is not made for the mankind. Hell is made for the Satan and his followers. Then somebody says, why people are going to hell? They are going themselves. God is not sending, because he says, the word of God says, there is a road looks so nice, so good, but the end of it is death. The same way, the people who are living in this life, they want enjoy the life, and they think they want to enjoy this life, and there is no other life. And that's why people committing crimes. But we know this is not the end of the world. This is just the trial period. God put us on this earth to make a decision. You want to go to hell or you want to go to heaven? So this is the place. And so otherwise, God can create people in heaven. And all the people will be heavenly. He doesn't have to send people to this wicked world to get a birth and live and suffer. This is the trial period. In this world, a wickedness and everything is there. Then when you are in this world, you might do some sin, you might commit sin, but then God gives you a chance to repent. God says, I do not want you to die and go to hell. Read the 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. There are some people saying, you know, today when, oh, God says he's coming, Jesus is coming, nobody's coming, let's do whatever we want to do, and these things are happening, and it's nothing going to change, and God is not going to do anything what he says. Last week, if you learned, he says, don't think that God is not going to do what he says. Whatever God says, he does. And the time sometimes takes a longer time. In the God's calendar, one day like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. But God gives us a chance. Please read.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Same thing. He says, I do not want people to go to hell, but they should repent of their sins and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the plan of God. This is our responsibility to telling people. Now, some people, they're living good life. Outside, you see them, they may not look like a sinners. But we know all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If anyone says, I am not a sinner, and I'm going to go to heaven without Christ, tell them you are wrong. All have sinned, and they come short of the glory of God, and all sinners will go to hell. That's why we are here, to tell people Jesus Christ has opened the door. You know, on the cross, his hand was like this. What is he saying? Oh, heavy laden, come to me. So Jesus Christ is the only Savior. So here he's saying, God saying, I have no pleasure the sinners dying in their sin. But the word of God says, the righteous man's death is precious in the sight of God. Go back to the book of Ezekiel chapter 18, starting from verse 24.
But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die.
See, here is an example. He says, if the righteous man, maybe pastor, maybe priest, maybe holy man, and did so many good things, and now everybody coming and worshipping him and saying a good person, and then he lived like a 50, 60 years life, and I said, now nobody's seeing what I'm doing, and start doing all secret sins. Nobody will know, but God will know. He says, that person cannot sit on his righteousness and say, I was a righteous man, so God will automatically forgive me. It's not going to happen, because God is a righteous God. You can fool your husband, you can fool your wife, you can fool your brother, your sister, or your boss, but you cannot fool God. God knows everything about you. Verse 25.
Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal?
Now here God said, so many examples gave. The point God was saying, you are blaming me, that I am not a just God. I am doing something wrong and you're doing something right. But he gave all this example, and now you check on this example. Am I doing something wrong, or you are doing something wrong? Because they are doing something wrong, and they are thinking God is doing something wrong. The word of God is saying, you cannot judge me according to your standard. God's standards and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God's holiness is higher than our holiness. We cannot judge people according to our holiness. God knows our heart. God knows our thought. God knows our behavior. So the word of God says, don't judge me because of your wickedness. See, I'm a holy God. Okay, verse 30.
Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?
See, here he's saying what God wants. He said, I want in your heart new spirit and new mind. Means God wants to create a new person in you. That is the will of God. But in the Old Testament, it didn't happen like that. That's why he sent his son. And St. John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, as many as received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to them he gave the authority to be called the sons of God. Now, if you are sons of God, that means you have the Spirit of God. It says there, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Spirit of God. So he said, I'm going to put a new spirit in you. So now we are blessed because we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now some people say, okay, pray a sinner's prayer. Oh Lord, I receive you in my heart. You are my Savior. You are my Lord and I believe in you. And if you say by lips and your heart is not changed, you are not a child of God. If you receive Jesus Christ, you have to repent, genuinely repent. He says, produce the fruit of repentance. That means if you repent, people are going to see fruits. People are going to see your life. You cannot say, I repented, I took baptism, and now I'm completely a new person. Your heart has to be changed. Once I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I am a child of God. I am a son of God. We are the children of God. The Spirit of God lives in us. Jesus Christ said, you know what? If you receive me, then that means you receive the Father. If you deny me, you deny the Father. So when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Galatians chapter 4 verse 6, God says, now you are a child of God. You know what I'm going to do? I take my son's spirit and put it in you. Please read.
And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Now he says, when you get the Spirit of Christ in you, you can call me Abba Father. Romans chapter 8 verse 9, it says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, that means you are not born again, you cannot call yourself Christian. And then Jesus Christ says, St. John chapter 14 verse 23, myself and my Father will come together and will make our home in you. Please read.
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
This kind of experience, Old Testament people didn't have. They were doing rituals, and they were doing outward righteousness because God told them the commandment. They obeyed the commandment, they were righteous. Because you see, some of the people's name is given in the Bible, they were righteous, like Zechariah and his wife and Joseph and Mary, all these people called righteous people. And they had the Spirit of Christ because they said they filled with the Holy Spirit. The point I'm making here, God has given us more power, more spirit, more holiness. We cannot live our self holy life. But in Christ in us, we can live holy life because Christ will not allow you to commit sin. But some people, what they do, oh Christ, you stay in the church, and when I go to church, you come in me. When I leave the church, I want to be worldly. It doesn't work that way. The Spirit of God lives in you for eternity. That's what God has given to us. Okay, let's finish this chapter, verse 32. Ezekiel chapter 18, 32.
For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye.
Now, again he is saying, I do not have pleasure in you dying in your sins. Why don't you turn around? Repent means turn to God. You are going astray. Come and live an eternal life. And that's the way the chapter finishes. Now the chapter 19 is like a lamentation. When you read this chapter, he's giving an example. But instead of giving an example of a person, he's giving an example of the nation. Let's go and read. Ezekiel chapter 19, starting from verse 1.
Moreover, take thou up a lamentation for the princes of Israel, and say, what is thy mother, a lioness? She lay down among lions, she nourished her whelps among young lions. And she brought up one of her whelps, it became a young lion, and it learned to catch the prey, it devoured men. The nations also heard of him. He was taken to their pit, and they brought him with chains unto the land of Egypt.
Now here he is giving an example. The lioness is the Israeli kingdom, or Judah's kingdom. Now he is saying it's a sad story. The lioness got a baby cub. Now she nurtured that baby cub, made a big lion, and he was fighting, and he was doing all kinds of things, and he was roaring, and he was even devouring the or eating the man. That means that lion was not afraid even the man. If you go to the jungle, some people, they are afraid of animals, but actually animals are afraid of us. But we are afraid of them, that's why they come after you. You stand still and they run away. Some animals smell the person and they walk other way. This lioness, this mother trained that lion to even attack people. And so he's giving an example of a king. How this Judah or Israeli nation produced the king. That king was attacking people, destroying his own people, and doing evil thing. What happened to that king? That king was captured and put it in a jail. Let's read the second king, chapter 23, verse 31 to 34.
Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. And Pharaoh Necho put him in bands at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and put the land to a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. And Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim the son of Josiah king in the room of Josiah his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, and took Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there.
See, this king was evil. Egyptian people came, bound him, took him, and then Egyptian people start saying, you have to give certain amount of money, otherwise we'll ruin your kingdom. And then you know the story we learn in the book of Jeremiah. So this is the one lion was roaring, and that Egyptian people came and took him away. That's the riddle. Okay, well, go back to the Ezekiel chapter 19, verse 5.
Now when she saw that she had waited and her hope was lost, then she took another of her whelps and made him a young lion. And he went up and down among the lions and became... He became a young lion and learned to catch the prey and devoured men. And he knew their desolate places and he laid waste their cities and the land was desolate and the fullness thereof by the noise of his roaring. Then the nation set against him on every side from the provinces and spread their net over him. He was taken in their pits. And they put him in ward in chains and brought him to the king of Babylon. They brought him into holds that his voice should no more be heard upon the mountains of Israel.
Now here is another king. Now this king, now see how the Israeli mother, a nation, one king did wrong thing, didn't walk according to the will of God. That king was arrested, taken to the Egypt, and Egyptian people started saying, give us a tribute, and they were in a trouble. Now there is another king comes. Now he says, this lady who is the mother of the king, she said, means the nation, he said, okay, I'm going to produce another cub. And does the same thing, and not learning that one child did wrong thing and arrested and went to jail in Egypt. Now why should I do the same thing? But she kept on doing the same thing, and then their king was arrested also. Let's read the second king, chapter 25, verse 7.
And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes and put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon.
We don't have time, that's why I'm not giving long verses. But if you want to read 2 Kings chapter 24, verses 1 to 17, 2 Kings chapter 25, verses 1 to 7. But I just wanted to point out, one king was taken to the Egypt, and another king, King Zedekiah, was taken to the Babylon. His children were killed. They made him blind. They tie him and took him to the Babylon, and he died there. So that's the sad story, lamentation story, is given in this chapter. Now, this is ordinary way we are reading, but I think in those days, those people made a tune, sad tune, and start singing this and weeping and crying for their kings. Okay, go back to the book of Ezekiel chapter 19. Start reading from verse 10.
Thy mother is like a vine in thy blood, planted by the waters. She was fruitful and full of branches by reason of many waters. And she had strong rods for the scepters of them that bear rule, and her stature was exalted among the thick branches, and she appeared in her height with a multitude of her branches. But she was plucked up in fury, she was cast down to the ground, and the east wind dried up her fruit. Her strong rods were broken and withered, and the fire consumed them.
Last time, if you remember, he gave the example of the wine. He said the wine looks good and strong, but the wine's wood you cannot use as a furniture or anything else. And he said this wine is very strong, and that wine's stump is very strong. So that's the way this wine was strong. And the king used that wine stump as a scepter, as a king. And he said this wine was so strong and so fruitful, and the king used the rod as a scepter, as a king's, in the king's hand. But now what happened to this wine? The wind came and blew it away to the desert place, a bad place, and then there she grew. But there are also, they burned that wine there, and the strong wood was not good enough to be a scepter again. Please read and finish it.
And now she is planted in the wilderness in a dry and thirsty ground. And fire is gone out of a rod of her branches, which hath devoured her fruit, so that she hath no strong rod to be a scepter to rule. This is a lamentation, and shall be for a lamentation.
And then give the example of the wine is the Israeli nation. So whole nation was gone, their scepter was gone, their kings were gone, and now there is no hope for the other kings will be coming out of it. And so now from that day until today, there is no king in Israel. This is a sad story for the Israeli people to know what they did, sinful activities, and because of that, their kings were ruined, their nations were ruined, and the nations became like a hopeless nation. No king and no scepter will come again. And that's what's happening. Now, we have hope. We have hope that Jesus Christ is coming as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, not that this any Israeli kings, but the final king will be Jesus Christ. He's coming direct from heaven, and so we have hope. Shall we rise? Okay, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. Bless each and everyone who is here. Supply each and everyone's need. We want to follow Christ, not any man. He said, do not trust any man, do not trust any king, but we trust in the living God. Give us grace to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.